This is Ethan Krueger for Effingham Radio News. This morning I am joined by State Senator Dale Ryder. How are you today, Senator?
Hey, I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Now, as I understand, what is buzzing right now around Springfield? We are still without a budget and we are past the spring legislative session. What is that going to mean for Illinois residents?
Well, it depends on, who that resident is, but obviously the fiscal year 2017 is scheduled to begin on July 1st. We don't have a budget in place as of right now, and as we speak, House Speaker Michael Madigan, who controls the Democrats in the Illinois General Assembly, has for the second week in a row canceled session days, which doesn't make much sense to me nor my constituents. It seems to me that if we're going to be trying to work through these issues, then we got to be in Springfield sitting down with one another. But the majority party controls the schedule, and so we're not in session. I mean, the bottom line is this: is that you have two sides here. You have the preservation of the status quo, and you have a change agent. And right now, the status quo continues to put up a serious fight with regards to wanting to preserve the ways that we've seen here in the state in the last dozen years, and that's spending more money than the taxpayers can afford to Springfield and keeping in place economic policies which continue to make Illinois 48th out of the 50 states in job creation. That has to change. That has to change. We have to start balancing our budgets, and we have to put in place economic policies that will promote growth, that will promote investment, so that fewer of our friends and neighbors and the people we go to church with and the people we see in the grocery store are unemployed. That's the issue here. And we're going to continue to work to see that kind of new Illinois come to fruition.
Now, did Speaker Madigan offer up any rationale for why the second time session has been canceled?
No, except for he says lawmakers continue to work, but it seems to me that in the end, we're all going to have to vote on whatever measures put forward, so we all ought to be talking about it. That doesn't seem to make much sense to me. Other than that, the Speaker really doesn't engage much in details. If you watch him during interviews, the leader of the Democratic Party continues simply to say that he's not for policies that will bring down the middle class, missing the point that overtaxation and overregulation and driving down job growth is exactly what leads to the diminishment of the middle class. It's not the rich CEOs who lose their jobs when a factory leaves town. It's the middle class that goes on the unemployment line and oftentimes goes on the public assistance rolls. So those are the policies we need to change.
Now let's recap the end of the spring session. I probably some frustration from you. So your school funding bill passed in the Senate but did not get through the House, correct?
No, actually, it did not. We've not been able to get the Democrat leaders actually in the Senate or the House to actually call for a vote a bill that would increase funding for K-12 schools moderately, an increase the taxpayers can afford, and be responsible. So, no, we've not gotten that done yet. The bills that have passed the Senate and the House so far have shared two characteristics. One, they've been increases far more than what we could possibly afford to pay. And second, almost half of the money in those increases goes to the Chicago Public Schools. So it's a bailout. It's kind of a bailout bidding war that what we saw in the last several days in Springfield. And that's not going to work. The people who control the legislature can continue to do that. But in the end, that's not real. And that's why we left Springfield without a K-12 funding mechanism in place.
Now, as I understand, now that the spring session is over, it will require a supermajority to pass a state budget. Is that the case?
It is, or pass anything that will be effective in through the rest of this calendar year. So, exactly, that's one thing that myself and many other Republicans were talking about toward the end of session, that it was critical to at least get an education funding bill through the General Assembly, because once you cross that May 31st threshold, it becomes more difficult. And listen, the educational institutions have to be preserved. Higher education and K-12 education, the schools have to open, and they have to stay open, and they have to be working, and they have to be educating our children. And that has to be priority one for us. not lobbying bills back and forth like what you saw in the last 3 or 4 days of session, saying, well, no, we want to spend more, and we want to spend more, and we want to help Chicago more. That's fine political rhetoric for them. In the end, you've got to do something. And we've got to be reasonable, we've got to be realistic and responsible, and that means passing a K-12 bill that fully funds the foundation formula, so we end the practice of proration, which has so many downstate school districts on the brink of fiscal collapse. You end proration, and you give them an increase that you can afford.
Sure. Now, what's your feeling on, say, passing a K-12 school funding bill at this point?
Well, I mean, look, we basically, I think, have to the end of this month, maybe the first couple weeks of July, before things will start to get critical for school districts in terms of making decisions for the fall semester. So, I mean, we're basically a month here that we've got to do something. And my hope is that the Democrat leaders who brought us these last couple bills before the end of session that were so expensive and such a bailout of the city's Chicago schools will realize that we're going to have to have a compromise. That we're going to have a compromise, and everyone is going to have to endure not getting everything they want, and that's both sides. Both sides have to be willing to do that in order for us to put something in place.
And what's your feeling on an overall state spending plan?
Well, it has to come down. I mean, it has to come down. Even if we would have left the tax increase in place that sunset at the end of 2014, even if that would have been left in place, we would still be running multi-billion dollar deficits. So you can't tax your way out of this. You are going to have to cut spending. Spending is going to have to be reduced for us to have a balanced budget. That's the reality of it. Or we'll be chasing red ink for years to come.
And where are some areas in the state budget that you would suggest that we could possibly reduce some state spending without having too much of a negative impact on residents?
Well, I mean, the first and most important area is the same area that we've been talking about for a decade now, and that's in the state's Medicaid program. In 2003, this state spent more state taxpayer dollars on public education than anything else. Now, this state spends more money on Medicaid and related public assistance programs than anything else. Those are the policies that have been written and passed in the last dozen years. That we have to reverse that and go back to spending more money on education than on public assistance programs. The biggest target is the Medicaid program, and the first thing that you have to do in the Medicaid program is what we started to do several years ago before then Governor Pat Quinn pulled the plug on the program, and that is verification, re-eligible. I mean, when someone signs up for Medicaid, they're eligible for 1 year, and then they submit an application to ask to be re-upped for another year. Well, for years, those renewal requests haven't been closely examined. So someone may be abusing the program. Someone may be over the income thresholds. So someone's no longer eligible for the program. Those people have to be taken off the program, and we've not done that. I mean, the leadership in the state has not done that. We're starting to get that through now through Governor Rauner's office, but that's a slow process. But I have Democrats and Republicans in my district. I have people who are liberal and people who are conservative. People think we should spend a lot on public assistance programs, and people think we should spend way less. But even with all those different viewpoints, one thing we should all be able to get on board with is that if you're not eligible for the program, you shouldn't be getting the benefits of the program. That's pretty simple. And that's a big starting point for us now, which remarkably, and this is how bad things have gotten, remarkably, over the next 5 years could save us $2-3 billion right there.
All right, State Senator, and if anyone wants to get in touch with you, they might have questions from constituents. How can they reach you?
Well, my district office, toll-free, 1-888-235-6033, and, of course, email drighter, so that's D-R-I-G-H-T-E-R, at consolidated.net.
All right, there you have it. Thank you, State Senator. We greatly appreciate your time today.
You bet. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.